Now, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him of or from their substance. Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you for your word, the Holy Bible. Thank you that you have given us the scriptures so that the Holy Spirit can enlighten them to us and lead us in knowing you. Thank you for the truth in Christ that makes us free. Lord, bless this word this morning at the sermon. Let us know, Father, even as we have already experienced in our worship this far, your presence, your glory and grace. Let Jesus be glorified in us and among us. In his name we pray. This is a short passage compared to what we are usually looking at, but I believe it is just what the Lord would have us look at this morning. There's some points that I want to emphasize through this. It kind of seems like just a general few bits of information, but I think there's some things that the Lord intends to emphasize in there, and that's what I want us to look at. And my first point is, it says, now it came to pass afterward, and of course the afterward is the whole situation at Simon the Pharisee's house, which we looked at last week, where the woman of the street came in and washed Jesus' feet and anointed them with oil. And we looked at that last week. And after that whole event, then Jesus sets out to another part of his ministry. So it says, now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village. Now, that's what the book is about. That's what the gospel is about. That's what all of this is about, is he. It's all about Jesus and what he's doing, where he's going, what his plans are, and he invites us to participate with him. That's one of the main points of this passage, is for us to grasp the point that what God is interested in, and we're going to see it even more as we go on through this passage, what God is interested in as he began all of this at creation was to share his creation, his life, the intimate friendship and activity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, with his family, with his people, to have a people and a family to share it with. And for us to know, then we have to focus on Jesus. If we're going to be involved in what he's doing, then look at Jesus. And so that's what Luke does. Now, he went through every city and village. It's for everybody. Like John 3:16 says, whosoever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe would not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus sets out and he goes through every city and every village. Big and small, rich and poor, it doesn't matter with him. He is after everyone. Every city and village. It doesn't matter size. It doesn't matter importance. So much what matters is that he loves and he gave for everyone, for every you, every me, every person, every city, every village, every place. And what he went doing was preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He went preaching. That's why I count it a privilege to get to preach. But preaching is not just what happens behind the pulpit. It's literally proclamation or announcement. The actual word in the Greek comes from a herald, someone who goes about basically as a news teller. Now, the fact is, for a news teller to be a news teller in the Bible, it's got to be truth, unlike so much of our present day. But he went preaching. He went proclaiming. He went telling the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Romans 10, 13 and 14 says, "For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Jesus went preaching. Jesus was and is a preacher. And he calls all of us in one way or another to participate in the proclamation, in the support, in the communication, in whatever way we can, whatever way we're gifted to help in the announcement, the proclamation. And bringing, he says. It says preaching and bringing. I believe he says that because Jesus went around doing more than preaching and teaching. Jesus acted. Action. Demonstration. Not just words. Jesus went preaching and he gave the opportunity through faith by the power of God for people to experience the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Paul understood that in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. He said, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." A God who never does anything at all is no God at all. The scripture says as much. In Psalm 115, verse 3 through 8, it says, "But our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat." Then he says, "Those who make them," or that is those who worship them, those who are committed to those idols, "are like them. And so is everyone who trusts in them." Jesus went about preaching and providing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Came across a story that kind of fits here. There was once a billionaire who lived in Texas. The man owned around 400 acres of prime land in which he had several thousand head of cattle, dozens of producing oil wells, and a beautiful 29-room mansion complete with an Olympic-sized swimming pool. He also had a very beautiful young daughter who was 20 years of age. Now remember, this is just a story. Well, the father decided that the time had come for his daughter and only heir to be married, and so he set about finding a suitable candidate for her husband. He decided to have a coming-out party and sent hundreds of invitations to likely candidates. Well, the day of the party arrived, and almost all the young men within a 50-mile radius turned up for the big event. There was much feasting, music, and dancing. Then later in the evening, the father had everyone out to the swimming pool, which he had previously stocked with alligators. And he said to the young man, "Now the first one of you will jump in this pool, swim the length of it. I will give him three choices. You can either have 10,000 acres of my best land, or you can have $2 million in cash, or you can have the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. Now I don't need to tell you that she's my only heir, and the man who gets her will also one day be getting my whole estate." Well, no sooner were the words out of his mouth, there was a big splash down at one end of the swimming pool, followed by almost immediately by the emergence of a dripping wet young man at the other end of the pool. He had just set a world record for the fastest swim ever. As he was regaining his breath, the host approached him and congratulated him. The host said, "Son, that was fantastic. Well done. Now, do you get your choice. Do you want the 10,000 acres? 10,000 acres of land?" The young man said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, then, do you want the $2 million in cash?" The young man said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, in that case, I must assume that you want the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. The young man said again, "No, sir." So the host said, "Well, son, for crying out loud, what do you want?" The young man said, "I want the name of the dude that pushed me in the pool." Well, he had opportunity at whatever he wanted. But Jesus came preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And that is good news. That is the best news. What you have waited for all your life, what you've been seeking, what you've really always wanted and needed, He, the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, and His kingdom is finally here. It is good news. It's truth. It's a fact. It's the reality. And as soon as Jesus spoke it, it has been present ever since. No matter what's going on in the world around us, no matter what our circumstances, no matter anything else, the kingdom of God, the wonderful place that God has prepared in His presence for His people is present and available. Is it what it will be? Well, no. But it is present. And here we can enter it and begin to experience. Yes, there is a hell. There will be judgment. But you don't have to go there. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the truth. That's what Jesus came bringing and showing and inviting and allowing people to enter into and experience the very kingdom of God. What their heart's desire was, whether they knew and understood it or not. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that eternity is in the heart of man. God created us with a place that will be satisfied with nothing less than Him. With nothing less than His kingdom. That's what you and I were made for. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, rules and rituals and dietary and other codes." You can see in context. "But it is righteousness," right relationship with God, forgiven, justified. "Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's what the kingdom of God is about. Then it says, "And the 12 were with Him." The 12 were with Him. When Jesus called them to follow Him, He invited them into a present partnership. When He calls us, when He called you, and when He called me to follow Him, He invited us into a partnership. Now, we don't save ourselves. That part He's done. He said it is finished at the cross. And we are redeemed because of what He did. But He calls us and invites us to participate with Him in what He's doing, just as He did the 12. But it wasn't just the 12. In the kingdom of God, and some of what Luke sets about, and especially Luke establishes, and of course Paul reiterates it, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom. He mentions the 12 just slightly. Then he says, "And certain women." And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Then he sets out to name them. Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons had come. Seven demons. Mary Magdalene had been demonized. She was a woman with demonic oppression, with demonic strongholds in her lives. And that didn't just stop with the first century. Demons didn't just leave after the cross. Many people today still suffer demonic oppression and bondage and need deliverance. There are physical problems? Absolutely. That's what it says here. It says that he healed of evil spirits and infirmities. There are physical problems, and that's what medicine and physicians are for. There are psychological and social problems, and that's what counseling is for. But there are also demonic problems in people's lives, and yes, even Christians' lives. And there's one answer for that, as Jesus illustrated, casting them out, because he established absolute authority over them at the cross. We could look further and spend time on that, but we won't this morning. But the scripture makes it clear that at Jesus' name every knee must bow, and that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And when people have issues, when people have problems, when people have things that they just cannot stop, they just cannot defeat, they just cannot get over, and yes, even many Christians, oftentimes it is demonic. And the answer to that is in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. And just like Mary Magdalene, they're cast out. They can be cast out, and those strongholds pulled down, and lives changed. Hers was. Hers was. And she's told here. We're told here, and her name is mentioned. And of course, you can read the other Gospels and see that she's mentioned many times in the things that God used her for and did with her. But it's not just Mary Magdalene. It's Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. That always kind of tickles me. Herod was a psycho king, if you recall, and he was intent on destroying the church and Christians and Jesus. And his steward, in other words, his right-hand man, wife, his right-hand man's wife is a Jesus follower. Talk about a plant. A spy. I mean, it just is humorous to me, but that's not my point here. She's mentioned because she had heard and she had believed and she had experienced Jesus, and she was his follower, though she was in Herod's palace, you might say, the wife of his right-hand man. And what that says to us is even in those places you wouldn't expect, don't count people out. You may not think that they're Christ followers because they're in that place or that position, but don't write them off. They may be another Joanna that God has there as a faithful witness. And then he says, Susanna. He mentions Susanna. Susanna is never mentioned again in Scripture. Just this one place. But her life and her service mattered to God. And he was so pleased, he included her and gave her honorable mention in Holy Scripture that will stand forever. So what that says to us is God's paying attention. He knows your name. He's not writing any more Scripture, but he knows your name. And it's written down in the book that matters. It's called the Book of Life. And if you get your name anywhere, you want it there. Susanna. We're not even told anything she's ever done. But that's not what matters. She loves Jesus. And the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write her name down, to mention her. and to encourage us. There's not superstars and heroes in the kingdom of God. As we said in our communion devotion, there's just His children. And there, as they say at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We're all beloved and all welcomed and all known, just as Susanna was, by the Holy Spirit. And He doesn't stop at that. And just to drive that point home to you and me, He says, and many others. So you see, when Jesus is going around the countryside here for this last year and a half of His ministry or so, there's quite an entourage. There's quite a crowd of people traveling with Him. Men and women whom God has called and brought into His family, brought into His kingdom. There's always more, He says, and many others. Some of them probably came and went, and there were many, many who followed Jesus and served in different capacities, in different ways, at different times, and everyone was necessary and important. It says that many others. There's always more going on with God than you think or can see. There's always many others you may never even notice, but He knows and He rewards. Just as surely as He knows you and me, and He will reward us. It says, and many others who provided for Him. Some translations say for them, from their substance. Who provided for Him from their substance. You see, it's easy to get this idea that when Jesus set out in His ministry and called the 11, you know, that they all just floated along and that He just took care of everything all the time. And it was just a piece of cake to follow Jesus. But that's not the truth at all. Because as I said earlier, God's intention is to establish His kingdom. And one day it will be in full force, and there will be nothing but His kingdom in a new heaven and a new earth. But between here and there, there's this business of getting it done, and He calls you and me to participate. Jesus didn't go around turning stones into bread all the time. The devil invited Him to, but He didn't. His intention has always been, since creation, to involve us, His children, in what He's doing. All creation is meant to be the family business. And everybody that comes into His kingdom, He invites you, every one of you, and me, to partner with Him. To take our substance, and that's not just money. It is money. It is our money, and it's our time, and it's our heart. It's our compassion. It's our kindness. It's our very lives. And provide for Him. Give to Him substance, our substance, to work with, to bless, to use, to bring to fullness His kingdom. You see, what you give is all that you keep for eternity. Now, as I said, it's not just talking about money. It does include money. But it's our life. It's our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our skills, our kindness, our words, love, our compassion, what you give in the process of the family business, extending the kingdom of God, preaching and tiding, proclaiming and showing. That's what you keep forever. That's what brings forth eternal fruit and reward in heaven. Now, of course, the big question is, are you in the family? I hope everyone here is. I have confidence that you are. But there's a lot we know who aren't. And we can participate with him. Because big or small, he wants them. He loves them just as he loves us. And if they'll accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and the Lord and the King of their life, they can join the family. Take part in the business, extending the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the privilege of getting to become, through the new birth, partners in your family business, which is the kingdom of God. And Father, let your kingdom shine in us and through us. Let us not only speak your name, but let us show your love. Show your kingdom in your grace, in your power, in your generosity through our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.